Jerry is money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it, what you would mean it, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell. Show me the money. I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
Money. What a great song that is from Pink Floyd. NFP Nation, welcome to the newest podcast here at the National Football Post, Dollars and Cents. Cents, of course, spelled with an S. You could also throw the two slash marks through it to make it look like a dollar sign. It's a little bit cooler, but I digress for a moment. I'm joined today by Andrew Brandt, good friend and colleague here at the National Football Post. Andrew, how's it going today, my friend?
Going good, my friend, Joe. We're doing a lot of money talk today.
A lot of money talk, a lot of hot button issues around the league. We figured you're the guy to answer a lot of these questions. You've had a lot of extensive experience dealing with not just the salary cap, but labor issues, agent negotiation type talk. So let's hit on some of the big issues, starting with Michael Crabtree and the 49ers. Crabtree, of course, the first round selection from the San Francisco 49ers, still unsigned. We're heading into week two, only unsigned draft pick. What is going on in this situation? And tell me, you know, who's to blame here, if anyone's to blame? This has been dragged out so long that it's become such a problem and it's gotten so much media attention. Just break it down for us a little bit. Is the end in sight here?
Well, I hope so, Joe. What's happened is every year there seems to be one negotiation is kind of the last man standing. And this year it's Michael Crabtree. And our own Wes Bunning had him really high. Most of the world had him going really high in the draft. He went pretty high, number 10. But you knew something was going to shake out there because he's a guy that seems to have a healthy opinion of himself. Feels like this is a little low for him, number 10. Now, he hired Eugene Parker, and I have great respect for Eugene. I've done two number one deals with him in the past 5 years, and then 2004 with Ahmad Carroll, 2007 with Justin Harrell, both with the Packers. I did a deal this year with Jason Peters for the Eagles. He's a very patient guy, which is not a good thing with the 49ers are concerned, because he's just going to wait until he gets the right deal, and they're going to have sources of frustration throughout this negotiation. Here's what I think's going on. He's the 10th pick. Everybody else is in. I don't think number 11, Aaron Maven, is even relevant right now. It's all about B.J. Raji. And my sources tell me that the 49ers have bumped right up against Raji and maybe even matched it. And that's a pretty generous offer. But so many times when you look at negotiations, it's not about the hard numbers. There's so many other things involved in terms of length of deal, escalator, upside, downside to the deal. And my sense is what's happening here is a couple things. Parker wants a smaller deal in terms – not smaller, that's the wrong word. He wants a shorter deal.
Yeah, he wants less money.
smaller only a number of years. Listen, the deals he did in the past 2 years for Larry Fitzgerald in 2008 and Greg Jennings in 2009, those have set the bar now. What they've done, not only give them top-of-the-market money, but their four-year deals – that give Fitzgerald and Jennings chances to be free agents once again before they're 30 years old. Those are stunning deals because usually these deals are 6-7 years. So he's trying to get a four-year deal for Crabtree. That's not going to fly. There hadn't been four-year deals in 10 years. The 49ers want a six-year deal. They'll probably come off it to five. They should end up at a five-year deal. In terms of money, they're trying to focus on Raji. There still seems to be some feeling from Crabtree's camp that they need to get closer to Hayward Bay. They have to realize that's not going to happen. Slotting is part of the process, and the 49ers are being generous, even bumping up against Raji. And on the other part, the escalator, hey, Joe, you know I was involved with the Eagles and Jeremy Maclin. That part took more than the money. It's figuring out what level does the upside start, how many catches, how many yards, how many touchdowns, how much playing time, what year it begins, what year it starts kicking in. And I'm sure all that's going on because, and here's the final thing I would say, back to Fitzgerald. when Eugene did that deal for Fitzgerald a few years ago, it hamstrung the Cardinals so much because of those escalators that they had to do this incredible deal for him last year, and they were up against it. So the Niners don't want that to repeat. So all of this is going on, and hopefully that gives our listeners a better view of why this has taken so long.
Let me ask you a question. There's been some talk, but there's also been conflicting reports that some of the money's starting to come off the table because games are being played. Obviously, we're heading into week two. Crabtree's missed week one. Is that true? Have you heard anything on that? Is Crabtree starting to lose money?
I've heard different reports on that. Here's my strong feeling. The answer is no. I think this guy is their future. No matter what happens, no matter how unfriendly this is right now, at the end of the day, Parker's going to go home and the front office of the Niners is going to pack up their suitcase, and this guy's going to be a player for Mike Singletary this year and beyond. They don't want to start it out like that. I don't think, and I have strong reason to believe this, that any money's coming off the table. On the other hand, I don't think, and I have strong reason to believe this, that he's sitting out the year. This will get done. I just don't know when. I think fairly soon.
Yeah, you just beat me to my next question about whether or not he would sit out. I know there was comments from Mac, or I'm sorry, I'm going to miss the coach's name. I think Mac Strong from Texas, who said he didn't want to see Crabtree suited up for Texas Tech this weekend when they go ahead and meet each other. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we all remember what happened last year, and that's kind of what put Crabtree as a household name. Moving on to our next topic, and this is another big one, and this is something I hope you can shed some light on, because I've had trouble trying to understand this. I know a lot of our readers have as well. Star caps, the Williams Wall in Minnesota, and also the defensive ends Grant and Smith in New Orleans. Different rulings have come down from different justice departments within each state, and the Minnesota players, not suspended, allowed to play. Unfortunately, in New Orleans, different law. The suspension's upheld. Now, Roger Goodell has stepped in, the commissioner, and he has said that he wants both guys to be treated equally. And you had written about how, in terms of collective bargaining, this was one of the first times that, you know, a court of law has ruled against a collective bargaining agreement. So try to shed some light on this situation. And are we going to see all four of these players on the field at the same time?
It's a great issue. I wrote on the site, and you know, I also teach sports law, and it created a whole new syllabus for me, because what this court did, the Court of Appeals did, was just stunning. Because what it did was say, hey, the fact that the NFL players and the NFL management got together, spent weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks negotiating a collective bargaining agreement and dealing with this substance abuse policy is meaningless. They went and said the Minnesota state law that gives employees better rights to testing than the CBA does takes precedence over the CBA. They said the CBA has nothing to do with the Williams players for the Vikings. That to me is shocking, because we have a law, we have a policy in this country that if unions and management get together and create a collective bargaining agreement, this doesn't need to be in front of the courts. This doesn't need to be in front of a judge. They have enough to do without getting involved in agreements that have been agreed to on both sides. So what happened? The federal appeals court says this has to go back to the state court to look at this Minnesota law, which is so employee friendly, and these guys can play, because that's not going to happen until after the season with the way courts are so backed up. Now, the other part of it, which you mentioned, the two Saints players, they don't have the same protection from Louisiana state law, but that doesn't matter, because Goodell says, hey, that's not the issue right now. The issue is not Louisiana law versus Minnesota law. The issue is competitive balance. We can't let the Vikings players continue to play for the same banned diuretic called bumetanide that the Saints players took. So they can play. The Vikings guys, Williams and Williams, can play. Deuce McAllister, if he signs with someone, theoretically he can play, because there's just chaos right now. And yes, everyone's asking me, is this going to mean 21 different laws for all the states and everything else? Who knows? We're in a tough situation right now where we don't know if the collective bargaining even applies to drug testing.
In your opinion, what do you think the best solution is here? Do you see all the guys playing?
I do see them playing, because there's so much swirling around the testing. Was there notice? Did they even know the StarCaps ingredient was in there? There's a lawsuit against StarCaps. Jamar Nesbitt of the Saints was suspended last year for, took the suspension. He's probably wondering why the heck he did that. Because of this specific situation, I think the prudent course for the commissioner is what he's done, is let these guys play. But there's a bigger issue here. How are we going to deal with state laws that come into play which are more favorable towards players than the CBA? That has to be dealt with. What can the NFL do? They can appeal to the full Eighth Circuit, because only three judges issued this opinion. They can appeal to the highest court in the land, the United States Supreme Court. They can try to appeal to the legislature of either Minnesota or the United States Congress. And beyond that, they just have to get back to the table with the union on bargaining.
Let me tell you, some of what you just said gave me some nasty flashbacks to Civ Pro when I was law school in San Diego. Oh, my God, that was a brutal class.
I know. Sorry for that flashback.
That's okay. That's okay. Every now and again, it's good to be reminded. Let's move to another topic, one that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. You've consulted with them. Most notably, you were with them this summer working on the Macklin deal, the Jason Peters deal. Great to have both those players on the team, by the way. But I digress for a minute. The big topic in Philly outside of the fractured rib for quarterback Donovan McNabb is Sean Andrews. First-round pick from a few years ago is going to miss yet another season as he has been placed on injured reserve due to back problems. Now, you know, try to shed some light on this for me. What's going on with Andrews? Is he going to be back next year? Is the organization going to cut ties with him? I mean, where do they go from here in trying to get this guy on the field or trying to figure out, you know, what's best for their offensive line?
Here's my thinking, Joe. I did work with the Eagles and do consulting for them, but I don't know Sean Andrews, and I don't know exactly what goes on in their deep in the heart of their minds about this guy. I know they think he's one of the most talented linemen they've seen, but talent doesn't cut it. Speaking more generally, that as opposed to exactly what's going on with Sean Andrews, this is a situation which goes on in the NFL every year. There are players you can count on, and there are players you can't. And talent alone is not going to cut it, and that's what I just meant with Andrews. It's just not going to happen. There are some players, and me and Lombardi talk about this all the time, you just know you can't count on. And if you can't count on players, it doesn't matter how talented they are. You know, being in Green Bay for 9 years, there's a lot being said about our friend Favre over the past year and what he's done to his legacy and coming back and forth and his indecision. But the one thing we knew, he was going to be there. We could count on Favre. We didn't have to go get new quarterbacks. We didn't have to address that position every year. That is a great thing for a front office to have. And that's why you see in the draft, linemen, tackles, defensive linemen drafted so high, because they just stick them in there and they're there for 10 years. You know, you draft a Walter Jones, you never have to worry about the position for a generation. And this is the problem with undependable players. If they have that history in college, usually they're going to be like that. If they're like that coming in, usually they're going to be like that. If Michael Crabtree has some issues coming in, they're not going to get better with paying him a huge amount of money. If Brandon Marshall has issues coming in, he's not going to get any better if they pay him a big new contract. And so that's my feeling about Andrews. I just think when I noticed him around the Eagles, he seemed to be holding court. When I noticed him in the media, it just seemed to be sort of a victim mentality.
Oh, yeah, he's been all over Twitter, too. He's been dominating.
Right. And, you know, you can't count on those guys from a team front office perspective, and you learn.
Well, you know what? It's a tough situation, especially as a fan, because the guy went to a Pro Bowl and you'd love to see him on the field. But you're exactly right. I mean, the organization has to move on and they have to get to a point where they can get the best 53 on the field, whether healthy or, you know, how they best fit the cap. So I'm going to set up a teaser for our next podcast. I know you and I had planned to get into the CBA a little bit today and to start talking about the upcoming labor issues. But, you know, I can just see us running off on that for 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay,
Andrew,
sure.
I think we really killed these topics today. Thank you very much. Dollars and cents. This is going to be a weekly feature here at the National Football Post, everybody. So I hope you liked it. Remember to hit us up with your emails, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys.